been challenging. We started the growing season off with more precipitation with extremely wet conditions, but it quickly, as it often does, quickly turned the other direction to a short-term drought.
So if you had, project for this year's yield, do you anticipate it's going to be a good year?
No. At this point, yield-wise, production-wise, I cannot anticipate it being a good year. Those of us that do irrigate part of our acres, we do have the opportunity to put water on, to rescue a crop, to save a crop, but that sure does create a lot of additional expense with the fuel and labor and equipment capital cost of running that irrigation.
Well, on top of those challenges, the price has taken a bit of a drop. This is following a 25% tariff from the Chinese government on imports of corn and soybeans. Can you quantify this loss or say what this means to you on your farm?
Well, looking at soybeans as an example, the price for soybeans for this year is the lowest that it has been in 5 years, at least. We've seen a drop in the price of soybeans of more than 20%. We're 50% off of the high price that was set for soybeans about 8 or 9 years ago. Corn has been following suit, just as the other small grains have. And even the specialty crops, the vegetable crops for the processors, those contract prices are usually set by what the farmer's alternative crop could be, which in this area would be the corn and soybeans.
And does this harken back to anything from the past, something like maybe the trade embargoes in the 1980s, where farmers are kind of shouldering the burden of international trade?
Yes, it does. Unfortunately, food is one of those items that is required for sustenance. A person can get by without an automobile. A person can get by without a luxury home or a well-furnished home to live in. But food is one of those necessities that you cannot sustain life without food. So it has extremely high emotional value with people. And it's a shame that oftentimes political leaders use food as a weapon to try to achieve their political desires.
And what is the morale like among Delaware farmers? The prices are down, the trade war is underway, but you do hear some comments from the president, some tweets as well about him not forgetting farmers, wanting to support them. Do you believe Donald Trump when he makes those kind of statements?
First, I'll say that Delaware farmers are not unlike other American farmers. We have an extremely strong, we're patriots. We have an extremely strong sense of patriotism. We believe in America as a model of democracy for the world to see. So, yes, I mean, we want our country to be strong, but we're also taught, many of us have been in 4-H clubs or FFA chapters, and when you're taught the skills of a leader, we're always told you should lead by example. And that's something that I kind of see lacking right now is, we're placing tariffs upon countries that have been our allies for decades and trying to impose trade sanctions against friends. That's not very good leadership, in my opinion.
Do you expect the price will bounce back? You've been in this game for a while. You've seen, like we mentioned earlier, the trade embargoes of the 1980s where the price took a drop. It comes back up. Do you expect the market will correct itself, maybe if not this year, then in years to come?
In the short term, I cannot see it happening in the short term. We were already in a declining period of the commodity cycle. Agricultural commodities have a cycle that tends to last between 20 and 25 years between its peaks in the cycle. So we were already in that downward slope period of a long-term commodity cycle. You know, now we've got that being amplified by political sanctions against trading partners. And, you know, and these are markets, especially the China market. That's a market that the farmers built that market for soybeans there over 40 years.
It's the biggest market, right?
Yes, right. Yes, it's the biggest market for agricultural products. It's the biggest market for soybeans in the world. And we invested tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars and 40 years of work to develop that marketplace. And they like our soybeans. They want to trade with us. But, you know, they're also they're a proud people. They're a proud culture. And this is going to be a tit for tat. I see this as possibly creating long-term damage, not just to soybeans, but to all agricultural products. You know, I said earlier that food has a huge amount of emotions attached to it. You know, Americans, we are blessed with an abundance of really inexpensive food. We have the least expensive food of any other nation in the world. Other nations that have to spend a lot more of their income for their food, for their sustenance, for something that's really necessary for them to be able to survive, they want to make sure that they can get that food from a reliable supplier, someone that's not going to use their inability to be able to source food as a ploy to achieve some other political goal. So this has long-term implications as the United States, whether the United States can be considered a reliable supplier.
Well, if to your mind you don't see a short-term fix in the market and a potential for long-term damage to agriculture in the United States, what does that mean for young people maybe taking out loans and looking to get started as a farmer?
That's what concerns me a lot. Over the last decade or so, we have had a nice influx of youth coming back into our industry. You know, we had a period of time, like during the commodity cycle, when we had really nice profits that could be had by working these long hours and these making these sacrifices in order to be in this industry. But we had young people coming back in. A lot of those young people have incurred debt based on what they thought was going to be a long-term commodity profitability. They're the ones that are at most at risk. And then that's compounded by those people that maybe were looking for careers in production agriculture that maybe are second-guessing that now. My wife and I, we have a farm here that we're looking for what our legacy is going to be, who is going to take over the reins of our production farm for the future. And it's really difficult when you're asking young people to work 100-hour weeks this time of the year, to sacrifice other abilities to go to other social events and socialize with their friends because the needs of the business and the needs of the farm are greater. They get discouraged very quickly when there's not much profitability there.
Richard Wilkins, any final thoughts?
I hope that we can return to diplomacy. I hope that we can have leadership to sit down at the negotiation table with our current trading partners, with potential new trading partners, and with our allies, and try to work out the solutions to these